We're joined by Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Hello there, Chris.
Hey, Rich. How you doing, my friend?
Well, I'm doing very well, thank you. And I'm sure if there's anybody out there that can get inside the head of Bill Belichick, it's you.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. I don't think I've ever really in terms of, like, nailed a first round pick in terms of like saying, okay, this is the guy they're going for. This is the setup. This is who they're going to get. You know, this is who's going to be wearing red, white, and blue in Foxborough next year. The closest I came, I will say this. I know that a couple of years ago when the Titans took Rashawn Evans, I know that they were very high on him in Foxborough, and I still believe that the Titans ended up trading up because they knew that Bill was hot on Rashawn Evans, but I've never been able to say, yeah, that's the guy they're going for. That's the number one. That's the draft target.
Well, this year in particular, and part of it I'm sure is because of some obvious needs, also because of a fairly high pick for the Patriots, there seems to be more speculation than even in past years.
Yeah, there really is. I think we're standing at a very interesting crossroads for this franchise at this point in history because, you know, last year, and I don't want to say give him a mulligan, but I think that, you know, Bill will cop to the fact that he may have screwed up a few things when it comes to the first year of the post-Tom Brady, post-Rob Gronkowski era. And I think that we've seen some of that movement now in the free agency, you know, the way they've approached free agency. And I think that, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of top things off. Even though team building is a year-round exercise, I think it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of top things off this weekend with the draft.
The big story that's blown up the internet this afternoon is this reported trade that was offered from the 49ers to the Green Bay Packers involving, well, I guess, Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Garoppolo, the third pick, and half the free world. What do you make of all that, and could it have any impact on the Patriots?
I think two things. First of all, the 49ers have been open to all sorts of conversations ever since John Lynch took over. They were the team a handful of years ago who tried to pry Tom Brady away from the Patriots as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for John Lynch because, you know, you got to take a shot. The worst they're going to say is no. And so I know that the 49ers are willing to, maybe more than a lot of other teams, entertain trade opportunities, entertain trade offers, and maybe, you know, kind of try and jumpstart trade offers. I also think, too, that I don't think there's any way that Green Bay deals Aaron Rodgers. You know, when you look at the number of teams that have taken a run at Green Bay over the last few years, I know Los Angeles, the Rams, tried to do it. I think Rodgers ends up staying in Green Bay. So, look, it's a lot of fun, though. I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, that the NFL hopes for, that, you know, they're you know, the hot stove league for the National Football League is, you know, starts with free agency and, you know, kind of culminates around the draft.
So how much of the Patriots' game plan for tonight, Chris, starts with, if other teams do this, then we'll do that?
They always have a plan. They always have, you know, contingencies in place. Bill will tell you that. And so, you know, a lot of it, I think, this year depending on who you talk to, but I think a lot of it, from my perspective, ends up on, you know, what happens with Justin Fields and maybe Mac Jones. Those are the two guys who I see as guys who are a bit of a wild card, at least at this point, because, you know, if one of them starts to slip, let's say, you know, toward 5, 6, 7, does Bill, you know, get on that phone and make, you know, look at making a trade up to, you know, maybe into the top 10. I don't think that they're going to push all their chips in the middle of the table on one guy. I will say that. But if someone like Fields starts to drop, or if someone like Mac Jones starts to drop, I think then we could see maybe the Patriots start to make moves. I think Mac Jones is a guy who will have a very good NFL career. Obviously, it depends on where he ends up going. And, you know, he's a guy, he's a pocket passer, great mechanics, comes from a great program. A lot of it depends on where he ends up, obviously, but I think the ceiling on a guy like Justin Fields is higher. The potential ceiling on a guy like Justin Fields is higher. You know, who knows if that means he ends up in Foxborough? I don't know. I will say this, that by the end of the weekend, they need to be able to have much more clarity around the quarterback position now than they do at this point.
And so as far as getting into the top 10, what do you think it would take? What kind of a deal would they need to make to move up at least half a dozen spots?
They would need to give up at least, I don't want to say that, you know, they would obviously, I think they would probably flip-flop, you know, their picks this year and maybe, you know, add one, maybe a second next year. It depends on who the trade, you know, who the trade partner is. If it's someone who they, you know, maybe have a good relationship with, they might take a, know, something a little less. But I think really it's going to take at least a couple of draft picks, you know, maybe one this year, one next year, if they're interested in getting into the top 10. Again, I think there's a realistic opportunity for them. Again, if one of their guys starts to drop to maybe move up to, you know, 8 or 9, but I don't think they're going to, you know, say move into the top, you know, 2 or 3 for like, a, you know, Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson.
We don't hear quite as much talk, but do you think there's still the possibility that they make some kind of a deal to get a veteran, whether it's a Garoppolo, a Teddy Bridgewater, somebody along those lines?
Well, I think the, you know, the story that everyone, I don't want to say is rooting for, but the nicest story, at least from a, you know, a sports writer's perspective, would be the return of Jimmy Garoppolo. And, you know, I don't know what that would look like. I have to imagine that that would be a reworked contract. You know, he wouldn't be coming here under his current contract. And so you'd have to move some money around. But the idea of Garoppolo coming back to Foxborough, I think, makes an awful lot of sense on an awful lot of levels. You know, least of all that, you know, there is some shorthand there, at least, you know, when you talk about the relationship between Garoppolo and McDaniels and Belichick, and, you know, that they've worked together before. How that would all, you know, shake out, I don't know. Maybe it involves Cam Newton going to San Francisco in return. But, you know, I think really the scenario that I think a lot of people are pulling for, myself included, is to, you know, some sort of a deal tonight involving Jimmy Garoppolo come back.
We're talking to Christopher Price of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, quarterback always gets the attention, but there are other needs for this team, and some of them they addressed in that free agent spending spree a number of weeks ago. But what's next on the list? Is it wide receiver, inside linebacker? What's the next priority?
I think the next two priorities, to your point, wide receiver is one of them. I think the other one is cornerback, and I'm going to be fascinated to see how all of that plays out, because it's my opinion that Stephon Gilmore is going to be here at least another year, but you have J.C. Jackson. You know, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent next year. I'm not saying that they would use necessarily the 15th overall pick on a cornerback, but I can see them, you know, using one of those top 50 or top 75 picks on a cornerback. And the other thing too is wide receiver. I think if they end up sticking, they make a trade and they still have the 15th, and make a trade for a quarterback and they still have the 15th pick. You know, you could see, I could very clearly see them going after Waddle there in the first round. So I think those are the two areas of need that really jump out, you know, instantaneously, you know, but you're going to see them. They're going to throw a curveball somewhere along the way, whether it's them taking a, you know, a defensive lineman or, you know, an offensive lineman or, you know, running back or whatever the case may be, you know, something that we think is not an area of need for them, but they love this guy too much to pass him up. But I think, you know, your point ultimately, your point is really well taken. And wide receiver, and I think the other one is cornerback.
See, in my fantasy, they somehow trade up and, despite what they've already acquired, find a way to get Kyle Pitts.
Oh, that'd be dynamite. I think I will say this though. I think Pitts. I don't know how Pitts. I don't think gets out of the top 10, because you know there's a lot of teams, maybe even out of the top 5. But you know, he's a guy who's really risen on, you know, his pre-draft stock has gone through the roof. In addition to having a great college year or a great college career, yeah, Pitts is absolutely dynamite. But I don't think there's a way that he ends up in New England.
How many picks do you think they end up keeping over the next couple of days?
That's a great question, Rich. And I think that if there is a time to deal, I think it's now. And I wrote about this a little bit earlier this offseason that, you know, there's not a lot of open roster spots on this team. You know, even though, you know, even they did go 7-9, but, you know, you look at what they did in free agency, you look at the guys coming back after opting out, there's not a lot of room for rookies on this team. And I think there could be an opportunity for them to package some of those picks if they do want to move up or maybe trade it in next year. Who knows? The roster kind of reminds me a little bit of what it was like in 2007. In that draft, they really should have punted on that draft because they only got one guy of any consequence, and that was Brandon Merriweather. So I think the scenario is there for them to package multiple picks to trade up, trade down, trade in next year, whatever the case may be. But yeah, I certainly don't see them utilizing all of the picks that they have at this point for the 2021 draft.
It's always, of course, a roll of the dice with the NFL draft and drafts in general. Let's say beyond Trevor Lawrence, is there a generational talent in this year's class?
You know, we talk about Pitts. I think Pitts might be, I don't say the closest thing to a sure thing, but he's awful talented. I just, you know, you flip on the tape and he's a great talent. He could do so much. The other guy too, and I still worry about the size a little bit, is Smith. The you know, wide receiver out of the kid is the wide receiver at Alabama, the Heisman Trophy winner. So fast, so talented, but you wonder about the size and if he needs to put on some weight because he is rather thin. I heard one guy call him because he's so fast and he's a little, you know, undersized a little bit, called him Slim Fast. I think that makes a lot of sense. But you know, you start to look at guys like that on the offensive side of the ball. I will say this: I think there are more of those types of players on offense this year as opposed to defense. And that's not to say, you know, there aren't some potential guys on the defensive side of the ball who could be game changers, but the offensive side of the ball offers, I think, more of those guys when you look at the 2021 draft in the short term.
Is it accurate to say, Chris, that Bill Belichick, perhaps more than anybody else in the NFL, doesn't look at the draft as the lone opportunity to improve their team, but just one more item in his toolkit?
Yeah, you know, we said this before, that team building is a year-round opportunity, and the good teams will always keep that in mind, that, you know, they don't necessarily close up shop after draft weekend. You find guys where you can find them, you know. That sounds foolish. I mean, my favorite story along those lines is Rob Ninkovich, who was signed as a free agent in August. So you always have to kind of keep your eyes and ears open in terms of, you know, the sort of player you're looking for. So, yeah, I think there is something to that. I think New England is particularly good at that. I also think, too, that, and maybe this has changed a little bit over the years, I think that the margin for error when you use a team-building approach like New England is less because, you know, you decide to kind of make the financial decisions that you make. I think that maybe changed a little bit this year with the free agents that they picked up. Maybe that's a post-Tom Brady thing. I don't know. But, you know, maybe they approach the draft and the whole team-building process a little bit differently now that Brady is in Tampa Bay as opposed to New England.
Now, logistically, for Patriots fans tonight, barring a trade that moves them up into the top 10, they'll need to wait around until what, about 10:15, 10:30 tonight to see that first pick?
Yeah, it's between, and I was trying to figure out the time, and I think, you know, one of my colleagues, Mike Reese, was able to figure it out. I think it's like 9:45 or so. I could be completely off on that. So there's going to be some time. I will say this, it is exciting this year because this is the highest pick they've had in an awful long time. You know, they took Gerard Mayo 10th. They took Nate Solder, I think, 17th, if memory serves. So this sort of pick affords you the opportunity to maybe do some things that, you know, you couldn't necessarily do if you were at, you know, 30, 31, or 32. So, look, it's going to be a fun weekend, and I think we're going to be talking an awful lot about, obviously, whatever they do, but I think it's going to be a fun weekend regardless.
Absolutely. Well, Chris, we appreciate your insight as always. Enjoy the next couple of days, and thanks so much for making time for us this afternoon.
Sounds good, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe talking draft with us in downtown.